Hi, how are you doing? Good afternoon, and thank you so much for hanging in there. My name is Genevieve Martinez Garcia, and I'm going to be presenting some preliminary findings of a focus group that I conducted with both male and female Latino youth about 2 years ago, where we explored contraception, sexuality, and pregnancy attitudes in this population. I would love to tell you that I have many companies that are paying me hundreds of thousands of dollars to conduct qualitative research on Latino sexuality. Unfortunately, that is not the case, so I have no relationships to disclose. So why are we doing this? Why focus on Latino youth and pregnancy? There is an increased need to effectively address teen pregnancy in the Latino community. As many of you know, a little bit over 50% of Latina girls will become pregnant before they turn 20. If we look at the greater population, 1 in 3 Americans will become pregnant, so that is significantly higher for the Latino population. 1 in 4 will actually become mothers before the age of 20. For a population which is already struggling with poverty, unemployment, and low educational attainment, you can imagine the burden that an early and unintended pregnancy can place for the child as well as for the family that usually helps support in the child rearing. This is data from the CDC and the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, and we can see that teen birth rates are still high. They have been decreasing, and that has been very promising. However, the Latinas are still leading the charts. We might think that that Latinos have more sex than others, but that is not very different from their white peers. However, when we talk about contraception use, for example, for the condoms, they still lag behind condom use. When we look in depth into the hormonal and birth control pills, they also lag behind birth control pills compared to their African Americans and white peers. So yes, I have many research questions because, of course, once I got this group together, I wanted to learn everything there was. Just for clarification, this focus group was part of a larger mixed method project for my dissertation. So the focus group actually were done before my dissertation research, and the data was used to inform the development of the survey. I had 4 main research questions, and these research questions, as well as the moderator's guide, follow the main concepts of the theory of recent action and planned behavior. So I wanted to know, how do the youth decide to have sex? And I have 2 sub-questions. How long does it take to have sex after dating? And how do they negotiate sexual relationships? What do Latino youth think about contraception, specifically their attitudes about the contraceptions, the most commonly used contraceptions? What do Latino youth think about teen pregnancy? And this question was critical in my research because there has been a lot of data, a lot of publications, as well in the scientific, as well in the popular literature, that Latino teens actually want pregnancy and they plan to get pregnant. So I wanted to get deep into their attitudes about pregnancy. And finally, the messages that Latino youth receive about important people in their life, specifically their peers and their parents. For this focus group, I partnered with a community-based organization here in Montgomery County, Maryland, and they helped me recruit from their after-school programs. For each individual who participated, we gave them a $20 gift card plus food as an incentive for their participation. I also administered a brief demographic survey prior to the discussion. The groups were gender exclusive, and the discussion was held at a convenient location for them, a safe environment where they frequently attended and they felt protected and safe to disclose this information. For the focus group techniques, I used youth-appropriate or youth-friendly elicitation techniques. I was the facilitator. I am bilingual, and because of the privacy issues and the sensitivity of the data and the discussion, I did not have any note taker. All the discussions were recorded and then transcribed. The moderator guide followed several domains. First, abstinence attitudes, the negotiation of sexual intimacy, contraception knowledge and beliefs, pregnancy attitudes, as well as parental and peer norms on all of these the topics that I just mentioned. For the analysis, two coders developed the categories and analyzed the data. We also selected one transcript to conduct the intercoder or inter-rater reliability, and I used MaxQDA software to code and manage the text. And right now I'm presenting preliminary findings, so I'm not able to provide any sort of the quantitative aspect of how many times a theme was mentioned. For the sample description, it's interesting to know that after this focus group, I conducted a large-scale survey where I collected information from roughly 1,000 youth in the same county, and the demographic data from that survey matches very well the demographic data from the focus group participants, so I'm very confident that this sample of focus group participants appropriately represent the youth in the county as a whole. I had 7 groups with 59 youth, 28 males and 31 females. The ages range between 14 and 20 years of age. Most of them were single. And also most of them, they identified themselves with the Catholic religion, although we did not ask about their level of religiosity. 40% were born in the United States, but 30% of those foreign-born were born in El Salvador. If you're familiar with the data on Latinos, we usually present data coming more from either Mexico or Puerto Rico, which are the majority Latino population in the U.S. In the Maryland area, the Latino demographics looks very different, and they're predominant Central American, but specifically El Salvadorian. Low levels of acculturation, and this is noted by the high level of Spanish-only speaking household, about a third. They spoke exclusively English at the home, and 56 of them said that they are either legal residents or lawful citizens of the U.S. Most of them had at least one sexual encounter, and this was defined by vaginal intercourse, and 12% of the sample was pregnant when compared to the greater study. In the greater study, 11% of them had experienced a pregnancy. So going to the research question one, how do Latino youth decide to have sex? And in the other presentations that I've been to here, you always talk about, you know, planning that encounter. Sometimes the encounters are not planned, and I define this as a little tug of war between the boy and the girl. The boy receives the pressure from the friends, from the male friends, you have to have sex. If you don't have sex, I'm going to threaten you by having sex with your girlfriend. If you do not have sex, it means that you're gay. And in the Latino community, at least in that age group, receiving those threats, it's really bad. So the boy receives the pressure from their male friends. Of course, the boy will need to then pressure that girl. Having sex is highly dependent on trust, but particularly from the girl. If the girl trusts that the guy really likes her, then she's going to have sex. How the relationship is coming along. Again, if the girls think that the relationship is for the long haul and they're in a committed relationship, she's going to have sex. But she holds many of the cards, the things that girls don't know that. And of course, it depends on the level of pressure of the boy, because if the boy really pressures, he's going to get it sooner or later. Some of the pressure tactics, verbal insistence, they try to make them fall in love. This is very interesting because the boys know that having sex is not a proof of love, but the girls think it is. So they're going to use that love card, and they're going to pressure the girl until they have sex with them. They're going to threat of leaving them or have sex with somebody else or maybe a friend, and they will show the benefits of sex. The girls will receive this pressure from the boys, but if they say they think that if the boys really love them, they're not going to pressure them. So it's a very interesting conversation back and forth, thinking that I'm going to be pressuring my girlfriend, I'm going to make her think that sex is tied to love. But again, they also think, and this came over and over in the conversation, the boys think that if the girls really respect themselves, they're not going to have sex. If the boy thinks that the girl is special and it's worth waiting for and it's a good girl, they're not going to pressure that much. So depending on how they perceive that girl, they're going to apply different levels of pressure. These are some quotes that represent some of these themes for the males and the females. So one of the males noted, because if the girl really wants to do it with the guy, they're going to do it. But if she doesn't want to, he's going to try to convince her. So there's very little negotiation room for the girls there. As far as the girls, they noted also if the guy is not serious, he's going to put pressure on the girl. And then if the girl's in love with him, she will fall like quick. Again, trying to play that love card. When they do decide to have sex, what type of contraception they use the most, and what do they think about these contraceptives? And I don't have the frequencies here, but I asked them to list all the contraceptives that they used the most and to rank them. And by far, the condom and withdrawal were the most common use contraception. But talking about the effective contraceptives, condoms and birth control pills were the most used. Other hormonal methods such as the injection, the patch, the ring, they were used but to a lesser degree, and it also has to do with level of information and also access to services. For both of them, I found that they had very similar attitudes. Of course, the boys, they don't want to use the condoms. It doesn't feel right. They have the misperception that it's going to break. They're ineffective. Why use it? And the girls could cite the exact same attitudes for the condoms. Oh, you know, my boyfriend doesn't like them. He said that he doesn't feel the same. Again, it might get stuck in the vagina. So again, we're just dealing with very basic myth of some of these contraceptive use. But interesting, it depends how well you know the partner, and this is echoed in the literature. Sometimes for young couples, you start out using the condom because you really don't know that partner. But if you know that you're in a committed relationship, if your partner is serious, if your partner is clean, as some of them said, then you will transition to non-condom. So for example, hormonal methods or the pill or nothing at all. Birth control pills were considered very hard to use, expensive, also hard to access. The girls may forget, so the guys were not very trusting of girls using the pills unless they were in committed relationships. Both groups said that they will gain weight and they will get spots on the face. And this was the first time that I see the myth of getting spots on the face, both from the boys and the girls. And I could tie that comment to one particular site. So it will be interesting to see why they were exposed to that information. And of course, the withdrawal, they knew it was not effective, but it felt better, so they liked that. So what do they think about teen pregnancy? And to elicit these themes, I started out with a picture of a pregnant Latina girl, roughly about their age, and I asked them to construct a story about this girl, their partner, how she felt when she found out, was she happy, was she sad, what did the parents said. So they constructed all this story, and then I asked them to relate it back to their lives and to the experience. And it's worth noting that I had several parents parenting teens in my group. And some of them, their girlfriends were expecting. So many of them, they could relate it to their personal lives. They all said that Latino teens, they don't want to get pregnant. So if you really pressure them, they don't want to. They're not planning to. However, they're in this ambiguity of, well, I don't want to get pregnant, but then when you ask me about birth control, I don't want to use it either, but then I want to have sex. So they might not be engaging in the best protective methods. When I ask them, well, what are the advantages or disadvantages of getting pregnant, or why would teens will get pregnant on purpose? They mention, I'm sorry, that's my timer. They mention to keep the current partner attached, and this comments I heard from both male and female, to start a new family and a substitution for a lack of father. And if you know anything about the Latinos, we value family a great deal. It doesn't mean that we have perfect and intact families. As you know, because of migration, many youth are living in broken homes, the parents is not existent, or they live with family members because their parents are back in their country of origin, or they were sent to the U.S. after many years of separation. And also you have other members of the family and friends that are living in the house. So you have a lot of tensions in that house. So the idea that you want to start a family, you want to give love to that baby, might be an indication that family is so important that I'm trying to start my new one because my family might be lacking. So for the males, this particular person noted, if you don't have a father in your life, it feels that empty spot in your heart. For the female, you know, talking about other girls wanting to become pregnant, they probably want to become pregnant to have the baby or say she's pregnant so that the guy will stay with her. We might think this is exclusive from the Latino population, but if you go back to the literature and you read focus groups of African American and white, you see the same themes emerging. So this is not a cultural construct. How would it affect their lives? The good things, you will mature quickly. Adults will take you more seriously. It forces you to grow. Also, they say that you can see your children grow. For if you ask any Latino youth, that they generally want to have children as a young person, because after 30, you're too old to have children, and you will be too old to even raise your child. So of course, as a 30-plus-year-old, I was a little bit afraid of raising a child in my 30s. The cons, you have to drop out of school, you have to work, you lose your childhood, you're not able to hang out with your friends. They also recognize the financial constraints and responsibilities and the loss of freedom after you have a child. And they also recognize that partners do not stay. So they do it because they want to attach their partners, but they also recognize that the partner is not going to last very long. So for the female, she noted this, and this is an excellent quote. Okay, yes, it is a blessing having a baby, but they know they're losing a lot. They have to work, take care of the baby. They won't be thinking about themselves only. There are two mouths to feed. It's a radical change in their lives. And for the guys, they have a different perspective. One noted, she would probably be happy because she's having a kid, and a baby is a blessing of God, that being a recurring theme. And she will probably be happy because of that, and because maybe she has her baby's father will still with her, and she's giving support, and he's giving support in any way that he can. But in terms of how it affects his life, because when you have a kid, it's like they say you're a grown man and that you can do things. So we all, I also, you know, as a Latina, I want to rethink what are the messages that the kids, the boys are receiving. Maybe we're not giving them too much of a priority. When I ask about the messages that they receive about sex, contraception, and pregnancy, it was not surprising to see that male and female receive very gender-specific messages. The boys will always be receiving the message from the dad, you go and have sex. If the dad realizes that the boy is not having sex, well, maybe you're gay. There's something strange with you. Maybe I'm going to pay you to have sex. I'm going to pay for someone to have sex. But if they find out that the girl is having sex, no, you have to protect yourself. You're a disgrace to the family if you are sexually active. The friends also instill a lot of pressure for the boys, but the female friends don't have the same level of pressure for the girls. Some messages or some quotes that illustrate this. For the males, if dad finds out about a daughter's pregnancy, One of them said he will probably kick her out for a day. Kicking a girl out of the house because of a pregnancy was a very strong theme. Every single group mentioned that. However, they are not long. They're not gone for long. Okay, they will probably come back. But when mom found about the son's girlfriend's pregnancy, my mom, when I told her, she was like, "Estúpido, te dije. No te acerques a la casa. Don't come near the house." Then they get happy later on. And as well, this was a recurring theme, that the parents are not happy because they want to become grandparents, although pronatalism is a very strong cultural attribute in our culture. So at the first, they're going to be frustrated, disappointed, mad, to the point that they're going to kick their kids out. But after that baby comes, they're going to receive the kid. They're going to love the kid, particularly if it's your own daughter's child. You're definitely going to receive and support your daughter. For the female, if just one example, if the dad finds out that his daughter is not having sex, I raised my girl well. He'll be like, that's my Maria. But if they found out that she is having sex, she's not going to trust you no more. So some of the conclusions, so what are the implications for those health educators out there that are dealing with the Latino community? Again, the Latino youth are in a tug of war. You have this environment of the family, of the peers, telling the boys, you go out there and have sex, but you're telling the girls, do not have sex, you have to respect themselves. So I invite you to address that in your health education initiatives, and any other community-based initiative, please incorporate the parents and make sure that they send out a unified message to both of them. Okay, and I think my time is up, and thank you so much for your attention.